The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello there. Welcome again to Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. Today, Catherine Wright and Ken Yates are resuming their survey of Romans, and they will be giving us an introduction to that section that deals with Israel, Romans 9 through 11. The Grace Evangelical Society's website is faithalone.org. And I hope you'll go there to find out about resources and conferences and many of the things that we do. We'll mention more about this at the end of the program. By the way, the Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary that will be free for all who maintain at least a B average. You can earn an MDiv degree. The email for more information and to register is gesclass@yahoo.com. I'll repeat this and give you a little more information at the end of today's discussion, which starts right now. Here are Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
Well, in Romans, if you've been following us, we finished up Romans 8. And when you get into Romans chapter 9, it is very, very clear that a new section is beginning in chapters 9, 10, and 11. Paul is now going to talk about the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, there's a couple things to keep in mind here. Obviously, whether one is a dispensationalist or not a dispensationalist is going to be a major factor in how you interpret these chapters.
Now, you just used a big word, Ken Yates. What does that word even mean? Can you explain it?
Dispensationalism is that God has dealt with mankind in different ages or different dispensations. And for our purposes here in Romans, the most important thing would be, Charles Ryrie said this, but many others did as well, that there is a distinction between Israel and the church. Mm-hmm. Dispensationalists say that distinction exists. There are many within Christianity, matter of fact, we would say the majority, will take the view that the church has replaced Israel, or the church is the new Israel. Sometimes it's called replacement theology, and that God is basically done with the nation of Israel as his chosen people.
That was plan A, and we're plan B, if you will.
Right. Mm-hmm. And when you get to Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, Paul is talking about Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just going to be, obviously I'm biased because I'm a dispensationalist. I think that there's a distinction between Israel and the church. And I have to say that for the non-dispensationalists, I would think that they would really, really struggle with these chapters. What do you do with Paul when he says, all Israel will be saved? Mm-hmm. They really have to bend these verses to say something like, for example, when he says all Israel will be saved, they have to say something like, all those in Israel who are part of the church, or all in Israel who are the elect will be saved, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So going into this unit of chapters 9, 10, and 11, you kind of have to decide, are you dispensational or are you replacement? Because that's going to dictate a lot how you interpret these next few chapters.
Yes, very simply, does God still have a plan for the mm-hmm. nation of Israel?
Or is he just done with them?
Right.
Right.
You know, they would say, for example, that because they rejected Christ, because they crucified him, all those promises made in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel are not going to be fulfilled literally in the nation of Israel. They're going to be fulfilled spiritually mm-hmm. in the church. Mm-hmm. That's the way they would say it. And obviously that impacts the way you read all those Old Testament verses that talk about the millennial kingdom, that a descendant of David will set upon the throne mm-hmm. in Jerusalem, all those passages. And obviously here in Romans 9, 10, 11, it's going to be the driving force in how you interpret what Paul has to mm-hmm. say.
I think another important interpretive question that you have to ask is, what is your view of predestination in these verses as well? Because Paul is going to be speaking about Jacob and Esau, for example, which we'll have a whole episode on that here in a few days. But what is predestination in these verses? What is it that God is choosing
Yes, that's a big point. Those who believe that God has chosen before anybody is born who will go to heaven and who will go to hell. Romans chapter 9 is one of their favorite passages where it says God loved Jacob but hated Esau.
Mm-hmm.
Or that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And there are plenty of people who say that this is talking about that he chose them to go to hell.
And they're going to hell, whereas Jacob, he loved, Jacob's going to heaven. But we would argue, no, Paul is speaking corporately.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Once again, we're talking about Israel, the privileges that God has given the nation of Israel.
And then the church, too.
Right.
As a corporate entity.
Yes, which he'll get into in chapter 9 mm-hmm. as well. Now, you mentioned about a pretty easy way mm-hmm. to distinguish chapters 9, 10, 11. And I know it's just brief, but why don't you share it with us?
Yeah, doing this series, we want to give you all as many resources as we can. And one of the main resources that we have through GES is a commentary by Zane Hodges on the book of Romans, which we would really recommend. We also did a conference, a national conference with GES, and all the recordings are available on our website as well, if you want to check those out. But I don't know where I got this from, but I think it probably came from that national conference, one of the speakers, and it basically structured chapters 9, 10, and 11 by saying chapter 9 is looking at Israel's past, chapter 10 is looking at Israel's present state.
And now, when you say present state, mm-hmm. you're talking about when Paul
yes,
was writing.
Right.
So Paul is saying, this is their condition
right,
now.
Yes. And then chapter 11 is looking to their future. What is God going to do about Israel? And I think that's a good way to structure how we go into this unit.
Yes. For example, in chapter 11, we're seeing God's dealings with Israel to a great degree in the tribulation period, right before the millennial kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for the non-dispensationalists, what do you do with that? Is there coming a tribulation period where God is going to fulfill these promises that he made to the nation of Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Or is God done with the nation of Israel?
Yeah.
And when we talk about the past in chapter 9, where the past from Paul's perspective
right.
and our perspective, like he chose Jacob,
Isaac
mm-hmm. and everything. So it's the patriarchs,
mm-hmm.
the promises to Abraham.
And the time of Pharaoh as well, as
right.
God chose Israel to bring them out of Egypt as well. So yeah, we're going to see how God, Zane uses the word that Israel was the channel in which he moved through, and Israel was historically the way that God in this corporate group, again, going back to that corporate emphasis, worked through this nation, but now he's working through the church.
Yeah, working, how he reveals himself,
mm-hmm.
whatever the terminology we want to use.
Now, I have a question. You know, this is a little bit of like a mini introduction to this unit. How does this unit fit into the overall context of the book of Romans? What we've been arguing is that Romans is about temporal wrath, that as believers, we need to be delivered from God's wrath, the consequences of sins in our lives now. So how does that fit into this unit here in chapters 9, 10, and 11? It feels a little bit out of nowhere. How would you answer that?
Well, that's an interesting question because he refers to the wrath of God.
Yeah.
For those following the podcast, you know that in Romans 1:18, it's talking about the wrath of God. And as Catherine mentioned, we've been arguing all along that the wrath of God here does not refer to the lake of fire,
mm-hmm.
even though it's normally understood that way. And so what we see here is that currently the nation of Israel, Paul talks about the fact that the nation of Israel is under God's wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, the nation of Israel is not in the lake of fire. So this supports the idea that the wrath of God is not eternity in hell,
mm-hmm.
but a temporal experience here and now of God's displeasure because of sin. And we're going to see that. Paul says that they are vessels of wrath right now.
Mm-hmm. And in Israel's case, the specific sin of rejecting him.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other issue of how this fits in with the book, because there are some people who say, there's no connection at all. Paul is just completely changing gears, and there's no connection with what's going on in chapters 1 through 8. I would disagree with that. I think there's a couple of connections. Number one, Paul in chapters 1 through 8 has argued we are justified before God apart from the law.
Mm-hmm.
And in chapter 7, we live. We've been set free from the law. Well, someone listening to Paul is going to say, oh man, you don't like the Jews very much.
Yeah, he's a little anti-Semitic.
There you go, anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. And or they might ask it, well then, what good was it to be a Jew? Or does this Jew have any advantage? And so Paul's going to address that right off the bat in chapter 9.
Mm-hmm.
I think another connection in chapters 1 through 8, obviously Paul's theology is one that once you've been justified, you're justified once and for all. Well, in chapters 9, 10, 11, we see the faithfulness of God to the nation of Israel. The things that he said to the nation of Israel, he's going to fulfill. Just like he does for us. If we have believed in Jesus Christ for eternal life, we can't lose it. It's not going to change. God's promises to the nation of Israel are going to be fulfilled, even though they've been unfaithful. So there would be a connection there as well.
All right. Well, I think that that kind of wraps up this introduction, unless there's something else we missed. We talked about predestination, corporate dispensationalism.
The connection with chapters 1 through 8.
Yeah. So.
Exactly. That God has a future for the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's going to discuss all these things in this section.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and that you will join us again as we continue with this unit over the next few days. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
The Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary where you can take specific classes or earn an MDiv degree. First year Greek starts week of August the 6th. Many other classes start the week of August the 20th. Soteriology, pastoral ministry, survey of the Old Testament, Bible study with Logos Bible Software, theology proper, pneumatology, and Christology. If you're interested, we need to hear from you soon. For information or to register, please email us and let us know of your interest. GESClass@yahoo.com. That's GESClass@yahoo.com. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition, we have all kinds of free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next Grace in Focus, we continue in the book of Romans, looking at Romans chapter 9 with Catherine and Ken. Please join us. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.